Luke chapter 6. In verse 31, Jesus says, as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. What a world we would have if everybody just followed that one simple rule, huh? If we could just treat others the way we would want to be treated. And the reality is people will not treat us always the way we want to be treated. But that one simple rule could change everything. As you would that men should do to you, do you also to them. Verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what think have ye? Sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. So there's no benefit, spiritually speaking, and also really materially speaking, if we just do good to those who are good to us. And my concern, and God's concern here, is that that's what we do. That we're nice to people that are nice to us. And you know, the rest of the world becomes almost invisible, doesn't it? Because we create this bubble, and within that bubble, we all get along, and we don't disagree. How many of you think everybody ought to agree with you all the time? Well, that way they'd be right, right? If they just agree with us all the time. But the reality is we've got to be willing to hear opinions that contradict ours, that are opposite of ours. At the end of hearing it, you may still determine they're wrong. But we need to be open to at least listen. And when it comes to people who are not, you know, part of our circle, how do we help those that are outside our circle? Well, that would really be our introduction to them, wouldn't it? Is our being a blessing to them, our reaching out to them, if they're not already in our circle. And so it's easier to be kind to the kind than generous to the thankful. But look at what he says in verse number 35. Love ye your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great. You shall be children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And to me, that is one of the hardest things to do, is to be generous to people that don't appreciate it. Doesn't that upset us? When we help somebody out and they don't appreciate it? When we help somebody out and they disappear? But that's what he's saying. He says, be kind to those who are unthankful. And we, a lot of times, would like to remind them, well, last time you borrowed money, you said you're going to pay me on Wednesday, and I never heard from you again. They didn't say which Wednesday, did they? But those are the things, you know, and that's the thing for me, when people reach out and they need help, I don't mind helping people, but I want them to at least say thank you and be thankful for it. And I understand something. Guys, when we're in a pinch, one of the hardest things ever to do is to look to somebody else and say, I need help. Isn't that hard? Not just financially. It's hard, you know, in our circumstances, whether it's with our family that's sick or too many kids and don't know what to do, right? Whatever our situation is, it's hard for us to ask for help. We want to find a way. But God says here, we need to be gracious, generous, kind to those who are not only unthankful, but even those who are evil. Even those who don't believe in Jesus. Those who maybe even would contradict our faith. But by our generosity, by our mercy, by our kindness, by our love, maybe they will be reached. Maybe. But if not, at least they've been given the opportunity, right? And so if we just lend to those who give back and we're just kind to those who are kind back, there's no spiritual advantage in that. But now you want to make a statement to God, be kind to people that are unkind. Be generous to people who are unthankful. That's what he's saying. Verse 36, be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And, you know, that goes not just to those who hurt us, but in our assessment or judgment or discernment of others, to be merciful toward them. You know, I don't know what you're going through, and you don't know what I'm going through. But I can almost guarantee that everybody in this room is going through something. Everybody that we meet is struggling with something. And maybe that's a financial problem, maybe that's a spiritual problem, maybe that's a sin problem or a relationship problem or a career situation. Everybody's dealing with, or maybe it's an image problem, you know, self-esteem. But everybody's got struggles. And so we need to be, he says here, merciful. We need to be kind. And we need to give grace. And what a church we could be if we would just love those who are unlovable. And I know that's hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for everyone. That's the reason he told us to do it. Because it'll set us apart. Verse 37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So what's he saying? He's saying you'll reap what you sow. Go back to verse 31. As men would that you should, as ye would that men should do to you, so do you also to them likewise. So what is it that we want? What is it that we expect in life and what and we desire in life? And he says, those are the things that we've got to be mindful of when we're planting seeds, when we're sowing seeds. How many of you want people to be nice to you? All right, everybody does, right? Then we got to be nice to other people. The Bible says that. In order for a man to have friends, he must show himself friendly. Not hard. I mean, the equation's there. The formula's there. But we've got to practice it. We've got to follow it. We will reap what we sow. And so he says, judge not, lest you be judged. So when we're pointing our finger and judging somebody else in their situation, just be mindful that sooner or later somebody's going to judge us in ours. And when we're condemning people for their decisions and their choices, sooner or later somebody's going to condemn us for ours. And then he says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. How many of you would like to have relationships where somebody just can't forgive you, won't forgive you? So here's the question. Are we forgiving? Are we forgiving others? Can we let go of the pain and the hurt? And yes, the deepest betrayals come from those who are closest to us because they have the most access. But we've got to forgive if we want to be forgiven. And you say, well, what about God's forgiveness? Okay, but let's look again. What are we talking about? We talked about a spiritual value, a spiritual benefit in that we're giving to those who can't repay it and that we're merciful to those who maybe don't deserve it. But now he's talking about judging lest we be judged. He's not talking about heaven and earth. He's talking about earth to earth. He's talking about how people treat us based on how we treat other people. And so when the world begins to come down on you and close you in and you feel like the whole world's against you, it's time to look in the mirror because it's probably not the whole world that's gone crazy. It might be something you've planted. It might be something you started. Verse 39, he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be his master. And I don't know if I've ever read that verse this way before. So he says, the student is not above the teacher. The disciple is not above the master. The student is in his place, and the master, the teacher's in his place. But then he says something else. He says, but everyone that is perfect shall be his master or his teacher. So who am I to learn from? Well, in organized settings, I'm to learn from the teacher of that organization. But in reality and in practice, I'm supposed to learn from everybody who's doing it better than I am. I'm supposed to learn from everybody who's got greater skills, greater knowledge, greater understanding, or better goodness. You know, many times I look at somebody and I say, I want to be like them. I want to be as nice a person as they are, or as happy a person as they are. I want to be as outwardly a blessing as they are. And by looking at their example, that makes me want to serve him as good as they do. And that's what that verse means, that we need to be learning from anybody that's doing it better than we are. Everyone becomes our master, even if it's a child, even if it's somebody that is our student. If they're doing it better than we are, they become our teacher. That's what verse 40 means. Verse 41, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? I know that we've all heard this before, haven't we? We've all read this part. But how easy is it to see other people's mistakes? It's easy. How easy is it to tell when somebody else has fallen short? It's easy. But how easy is it for us to see our own failures and our own mistakes? It's not easy, is it? It's hard to recognize the problems that are in our lives. And the truth is, God made us to be a blessing and to minister to others. And so it makes it harder for us to minister to ourselves. That's the reality. It makes it harder for us to minister to ourselves and to see our own faults. It says in verse 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. What is the lesson here? What's he saying? We got to work on ourselves, don't we? We have got to work on ourselves. We go to church, right? We go to church. And we read the Bible and we pray. Why? Because we're working on ourselves. Why? Because we've got to minister to other people. Because that's what God's called us to do, is to minister and to serve others. So we've got to work on ourselves too. We've got to. We've got to see our own failings and mistakes, our own faults. Verse 43, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. So he's saying to us, believe what we see. Right? Believe what we see. The way he talks a good talk, well, believe what you see. Believe what he does. Believe the actions, not the words. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So watch what they do. Watch their patterns. That to me is the biggest thing. Our patterns reveal our hearts. Jesus said in another place, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? So what are we interested in? What do we talk about? What do we love to do? What do we get excited about? We did the service for Sister Foggy Monday. And one of the things that I shared was how, I don't know how well you knew her, but whenever she would start talking about Bible or Jesus, her facial expression changed. Like she came alive. And all of a sudden her eyes lit up and her face lit up and she was happy. Boy, she was excited to talk about Jesus. She was excited to talk about the Bible. That was the one thing that just kind of moved everything else out of the way. Where her treasure is, that's where her heart was also. That's where she was invested. And that's where we could see her greatest love. Verse 46, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We either want to serve God or we don't. It's real simple, isn't it? I find that a lot of people don't really want to. They're going to heaven. They feel obligated to go to church every once in a while, but they really don't have an interest in serving God. And we got to get that straight. I mean, he died on the cross for our sins. He rose again the third day to give us victory over the grave. He's prepared a place in heaven, and he's coming back to get us. He's given us all of this, a love letter from his heart to us of how to live our lives the best way. I would say we need to call him Lord, but we need to do the things which he says. Verse 47, he says, "Whosoever cometh to me and hears my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock." By the way, the scripture this morning told us in 1 Corinthians that rock was Jesus, wasn't it? When the flood rose, how many of you have had some floods in your life? And the stream beat vehemently upon that house. In other words, the outside forces. And I'm sure we've all had that. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. You see, when we get saved, our troubles don't stop, do they? People say, well, I've got so much going on in my life. I don't know where God is. I don't really know if I'm saved. Well, he said, you're founded on the rock. There's still going to be troubles. Floods and streams vehemently beating against it. Verse 49, but he that heareth not, that heareth and doeth not, we know better, but we don't do it. Well, that's like the man without a foundation. He built his house on the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. You see, it's not just about being founded upon the rock. Look at what he says. He says, he that hears my word and does it. Because the Bible will change us. Our salvation, our relationship with Jesus can change our lives dramatically if we do it. Heareth my word and puts it to practice. But coming to church won't change our lives unless we apply it. Bible study won't change our lives unless we apply it. We've got to put it into practice, and if we do, we'll see great benefit. Not only in what we're doing, but when the storms come, we'll have that refuge. Let's stand. The Lord requires effort. And we need to be grounded in the rock. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word, the time that we've had tonight, and your word, and pray that you will draw us to you, that we will hear what you are saying to us in this text, that we need to put into practice what you have written, that we need to love the unlovable, forgive those who've wronged us. We need to be merciful. We need to reach beyond our fellowship and find those who we can help. We can be kind even to those who don't appreciate it, even to those who take it for granted or take advantage. That we should be generous, that we should be loving, that we should be kind, and give them a pathway to salvation through our kindness and our love. Help us each one this week to be the conduit of grace to those who need it. Forgive our sins and make us useful. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.